WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. Today, we're going to be covering Sunday's top performers, biggest busts, and surprises of the week. We'll also be going over our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions, as well as our top waiver wire pickups. Don't miss out on our must start, must sit, and panic or pause segments as well. With all of that being said, let's get into it with Jake Riker.
All right, my top performer for this week. It feels good to bring his name back up in a good way. It's my quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, some could say, played his best game as a Baltimore Raven this Sunday. He recorded 33.88 points, fantasy points in ESPN leagues. He had 357 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns. He also had 36 rushing yards and recorded a rushing touchdown on that first drive of the game. I mean, Lamar Jackson's back.
He's back in a big way.
The Baltimore Ravens offense just looked flawless on Sunday. I think they had one punt. But if Lamar keeps playing like this and you have him in fantasy, it's a real good sign, if you ask me.
Against a great defense, too. And as much as I hate to say it, Lamar might be the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting at work, and I remember, because I have Lamar in one league, and I was sitting there, and it was like 12:30, and I pulled out my phone, and it was 3 notifications that Lamar had tossed 2 touchdowns and ran for 1. Hit like 24 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
But my top performer is the top performer of the week, points-wise. It's Travis Kelce in Kansas City. He put up 35.9 PPR fantasy points this week. 12 catches for 179 yards. He joined Shannon Sharp as the second tight end ever to have 5 career 150-plus yard games.
It's crazy.
He caught a touchdown as well on 13 targets. And, I mean, that's the Travis Kelce you're expecting from the first couple weeks. It was a little questionable. I mean, he was still averaging like 17 points, but it's not the Travis Kelce you've come to know.
Definitely.
The last 3 has been a complete revelation and a complete reset to what you're used to. And like it or not, in the 4 games that Taylor Swift has been in attendance, he's averaging 108 mm-hmm. yards a game.
I was going to say, I feel like we should give some credit to
Taylor
Swift.
In the game she's not there, he's averaging 46 yeah. and a half.
Yep.
I saw that on Twitter or X this morning.
Andy Reid's trying to, keep those Swifties at games.
And there's Travis Kelce is here, and Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes
have a handshake. There's a little handshake going on.
That's crazy. There's no way that was Taylor's idea.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to complain. I got Kelce in one of my leagues for money, so Taylor Swift better keep going again.
That was the weirdest game ever. You had Taylor Swift, and then you had the industry plant Chargers fan there, too. It was all over the place.
The only non-strange thing was Travis Kelce lighting up the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah,
death taxes and Travis Kelce beating up the Chargers. All right, moving on to my top performer of the week, I have Alabama's very own Roll Tide, Jahmyr Gibbs. The rookie finally got his shot after a few games, and all it took was for David Montgomery to be out. Gibbs racked up 11 carries for 68 yards and a touchdown, as well as 10 targets through the air, 9 receptions, and 58 yards. He was getting all the checkdowns against the Ravens. They got blown out, but Gibbs did have their lone touchdown. He was phenomenal. Both him and Amon-Ra St. Brown had great games. But Gibbs finally got his first NFL touchdown. We were all waiting for it because Montgomery was stealing all the carries. But Gibbs finally got his moment. Roll Tide. The Detroit Lions got steamrolled, but Gibbs was a steamroller. You love to see it.
I was very happy to see Gibbs score.
It was awesome.
I mean, we were up by so much. I was like, let's get Jahmyr Gibbs in the end zone.
It was like the first time that David Montgomery went out, the Lions decided they'd rather hand the ball to Craig Reynolds.
Yeah,
they finally decided to hand the ball to the guy they picked, 12th overall?
Dan Campbell is a very interesting coach.
Most definitely.
He came out on Twitter.
He wins.
He does win.
Not this week.
Yeah. But like you said, they were feeding Craig Reynolds, and then this week they're like, yeah, we're going to give all the carries to Jahmyr Gibbs, and we're like, oh.
Well, he did only have 11 carries.
But he got 10
catches.
Targets.
Yeah.
So it all worked out for Gibbs. Let's move on to the biggest surprises. Jake,
I got a rookie wide receiver over there in Indianapolis, Josh Downs.
Ooh.
UNC guy.
He's been very big UNC guy with Drake May, great connection. Now he's got Gardner Minshew. He's not as good. But Josh Allen had a great week. 23.5 points. He had 5 catches for 125 and a touchdown. I mean, that stat line just looks extremely formal and, like, perfect. 5 for 125 and a touchdown. And not only did he have a good week this week, but, like, he's been having a sneaky good last, like, month. Mm-hmm. He had 15.7, 13.1, and 23.5. I mean, Josh Downs might be a guy that could be a consistent starter for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but he's been putting up numbers, especially this week. That was my biggest surprise.
My biggest surprise, let's get back to the Ravens. It's Gus Bus Edwards. Big waiver wire pickup when Dobbins went down if he wasn't already on rosters. But since then, in the last 6 weeks, 10 carries, 11, 15, 12, 16, and then 14 this past week, and he wasn't really able to do much with it. He'd only gotten to the end zone once in that time. He obviously doesn't get a lot of receiving work because he's just not that kind of running back.
He had a nice 80-yard reception.
He did have an 80-yard catch.
That was wild.
Reached over 20 miles per hour running. I've never seen Gus Bus move that.
Yeah, 14 for 64 and 4.6 a carry. Got a touchdown as well. And then obviously the 80-yard catch was 9 fantasy points in itself. But 21.4 for a guy that had been largely disappointing since Dobbins went down. Think he's an RB2 play next week at this rate.
Well, let's not keep praising the Ravens, because every time we do that on this show, we always find a way the next week to screw it up. And if we find
Arizona.
I was going to say, if we find a way
Arizona sleeper.
To screw it up against the Cardinals, we got big problems.
The more we praise the Ravens, the more likely Kyler Murray is to play on Sunday.
100%.
Well, that that'd be good. Josh Dobbs is
cooking.
He's better than Kyler Murray.
They already ruled him out anyway, I think.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on to my biggest surprise, and that is Deontay Foreman of the Chicago Bears, the running back, who had an amazing game. He had 16 attempts on the ground for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns, receiving 5 targets, 3 catches, 31 yards, and another touchdown, equaling 33 fantasy points on the dot. Foreman, leading up to this game, had only racked up points in 2 games. He had 4 and 7, so he had a 11 points total coming into this game. This week he scores 33. Khalil Herbert's been out. That was the reason why he got all this time. He dominated. All 3 of his touchdowns came in the first half. He really cooked the Raiders, who aren't the worst defense in the entire world. But again, Foreman, who had done nothing all season, finally got his big shot, racked up 33 points. And as long as Khalil Herbert is out, it looks like the Bears, the Justin Fieldsless Bears, are going to be using Deontay Foreman and relying on him. So he's going to be a solid flex RB2 option as long as the injuries continue. Let's move on to biggest busts. What do we got?
I got – the first guy I had was Deshaun Watson, and I felt a little bad because he got injured very early in the game, so we can't call him the biggest bust of the week because he didn't play most of the game. But
he did score negative fantasy.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
He managed to throw an interception.
I wanted to shout him out just because how poorly he played. So
$230 million.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. We're paying Russell Wilson. I can't really talk.
But my real biggest bust is another Watson, Christian Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Only 5.7 points against the Denver defense.
Seatbelt Sertan, he's back, baby.
I mean, I was not expecting that. I mean, Denver's defense has just been poor this year. I still have full faith in PS2 for sure, but I thought Watson would do a little bit more than – it was either 2 catches for 37 yards or 3 catches for 27 yards. Either way, it was a really bad week. He was in my starting lineup in a handful of leagues. And he only racked up 5.7 points.
He's really been a letdown all year.
I don't even know if it's his fault. Jordan Love, outside of like weeks 1 and 2, has been like legitimately bad.
And when he does, he targets Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed. So none of those targets go to Watson.
Because Romeo Doubs can jump up into double coverage and catch a pass that he never should have thrown in the first
exactly.
place. My bust of the week, though, was the sixth highest projected player in fantasy this week, Cooper Kupp. Oh, brother. Out-targeted, out-produced by Puka Nacua this week in Pittsburgh. Cooper Kupp had 2 catches for 29 yards. That's the end of the stat line. That's it. That's all he did. He did have 6.9 fantasy points, though, but he didn't have any carries. So I'm not 100% sure where the last 2 fantasy points came from. But
2-point maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
I think he did get a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
He got a 2-point conversion? Yeah, okay. So that's where he got his 6.9 points from. Only 7 targets on the day, which is not bad, but for Cooper Kupp, you're expecting at least like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Nacua, on the other hand, had 12 targets. So it could be one of these – it could be a weird season where we look like Nacua scores 28 one week, Cup goes for 30 the next, and then there's a game where they both score like 18. But, yeah, Cooper Cup, big letdown this week in Pittsburgh. Sorry, the game was in L.A., but against Pittsburgh.
100%. Very, very off-putting to hear Cooper Cup do that bad. He's one of the all-time great fantasy performers. But I'm going to pivot to Bijan Robinson as my biggest bust. And this isn't even Bijan Robinson's fault. This is Arthur Smith's fault. I'm fairly certain from what reports say, Bijan Robinson had an illness going into the game.
He had a tummy ache.
His tummy hurt. And this
it was actually a headache.
This was not reported to anybody. And everybody who had Bijan Robinson obviously started him against the Bucks defense, who's not great. And he ended up with one carry for 3 yards. That is it. That's all he did, and I'm pretty sure that carry came in like the fourth quarter. The Falcons still ended up managing to win that game 16-13, even though Ridder fumbled 3 times in the red zone.
It was the first carry of the game.
It was?
Yeah, because I remember getting the tweet that they had officially ruled him out for the rest of the game by like 5 minutes into the first quarter.
That's insane. But still, goes out with an illness. It was not reported, and Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson especially really benefited from that. They balled out. But Bijan, 0.3 points on the week. He's going to continue with his illness. He's ruled as questionable for right now. We're not sure how this is going to continue to go for the weeks oncoming. But that's all we have for the first 3 segments. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions for the San Francisco 49ers versus the Minnesota Vikings. Let's get into it with Zach Elrod. What do you got?
Coming into this game, we know the Vikings have not been known for their defense, and Justin Jefferson being out, their number one player, I mean, it's going to be a rough one for them. I got the score being 38-10, 49ers coming out with the dub. And with McCaffrey not being 100% right now, I don't think he's going to be the best player in this game. I actually got another receiver, Brandon Ayuk. Well, actually not another receiver, obviously, but Brandon Ayuk going into this game. I think he's going to take over. I'm looking for 80 yards receiving, probably a touchdown or two. But, yeah, I think Brandon Ayuk is definitely going to come out with a good game this.
I love that. I like that a lot. Jake, what do you got?
I would have to agree with everything Zach says. I touched on it a little bit earlier on Instagram, but the Niners are looking to bounce back from that weird loss last week against Cleveland with P.J. Tucker at quarterback. And I think they do bounce back tonight, even though they're on the road. For the second time in a row, trying to bounce back on the road is not always an easy thing to do in the NFL, no matter who you're playing. Anybody can testify for that. But this Vikings team is just beat up. Their defense is not good. They don't have their best player. So I got the Niners winning a little bit lower scoring of a game than most would expect. I got the Niners winning 20-10, winning by 10. I think the Vikings defense holds up enough to keep them in the game for the first half. But the Niners are going to pull away and get a two-score win. And then my biggest performer is actually someone on the Vikings. I got T.J. Hockenson. I think Kirk Cousins is just going to be looking for answers all over tonight with no Jefferson. Addison had a great week last week. Osborne did not, but Addison was clearly the wide receiver one. But I think I'm always a big believer in when the quarterback needs help, no matter who it is, especially rookie quarterbacks, but when a quarterback needs help and they're looking for answers, they go for their tight end. They're just the old reliable. So I think Hockenson's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to get a lot of receptions. He might not even reach the end zone, but I think he's going to be 20-point game tonight.
That's fair.
Worth noting, it was also National Tight Ends Day yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So big night for T.J. Hockenson and National Tight Ends Day patron George Kittle.
Founder.
My top performer tonight, though, I'll get to him in a second, but it's not a tight end. My score prediction, at the end of the day, the Vikings just aren't a very good football team with Justin Jefferson, and now they don't have him. So I definitely don't have a lot of faith in them to beat the 49ers, who are coming off a very tough loss. I would expect them to bounce back, and as a result, I've got it 27-13 in favor of San Francisco. I don't think this game will be close. I don't think it should be close. And I think San Francisco takes care of business on the road tonight. My top performer is, just like Zach, it's Brandon Ayuk. Not only do I need him to score these points because I have him in fantasy, but he is the clear wide receiver one on the outside tonight because Deebo Samuel is sitting out, and he's the only guy on the outside for the Niners that even has anything close to a wide receiver one-esque talent level and build. Brandon Ayuk is that guy, and I've got him showing that tonight. 8 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. That'd have him north of 20 if he pulled it off. So go Niners tonight.
I have to agree. As the Niner fan, can't go against what I know, and that is a Niners win. I have the Niners winning this one 33-13. They have looked really good. The only thing that does worry me is without Trent Williams, our backup left tackle is going to have to go against Danielle Hunter, who has been one of the top pass rushers in the NFL this year, has 8 sacks already.
Holy cow.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter's been extremely good,
eight
and nobody's
sacks?
Talking about him.
Because he plays for the Vikings.
Exactly. Danielle Hunter's been insane without Trent Williams. That does scare me. However, the Niners have too much talent not to win this game. Even in Minnesota, I don't think Kirk Cousins can get it done. He's had some wins against two. He's beat the Panthers and the Bears this year, and in both of those games they've been one score games with a defensive touchdown. So I don't think that offense can get it done without Justin Jefferson. I have the Niners winning 33-13. My big performer is going to be Brandon Ayuk. He's going to have a bounce back performance. He had 32 points in week one, and I think he goes for 7 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown this week without Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey on a lighter workload. So
I just had one of those like really weird urges, like, you know what I'm talking about. I think the Vikings are going to win the night. Like, I just completely changed my mind.
Really, just
yeah. After what I'm seeing, really, yeah.
You picked the Niners 4-for-4, which normally means that the team is going to lose.
I think T.J. Hockenson's going to have an insane game. He's still my top performer, but I think Skull's going to take it home tonight. That stadium's going to be
prime time Kirk Cousins.
I know it's prime time Kirk, and I will always be Kirk Cousins' biggest supporter. You can ask any of my friends that. So you know what? I'm changing my mind. I say the Vikings are going to win this game 27-14.
Well, primetime Kirk Cousins is already doing what he does best.
Throwing interceptions.
Christian McCaffrey did fumble, though, so they're going to get the ball back. However, that's all we have for Monday Night Football predictions. Let's move on to our waiver wire pickups. There's some good options this week. A lot happened in the NFL. So, Jake, let's get us started on the waiver wire pickups.
My waiver wire pickup, we actually have somebody, and I cannot just, like, choose a kicker or somebody.
Yeah.
Is Darrell Henderson for the Rams. I didn't even know that, like, he was their RB1 going into this week. Like,
because they signed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about that.
I didn't even see that, to be honest, because I started some random running back in my 16-man league, and then he ended up getting 0.0 points.
Zach Evans?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, so what happened? And I was like, Henderson's back. He dropped 13.6 points for the Rams as their RB1 this week. I mean, and they lost too. They couldn't even beat the Steelers. So he's my waiver wire pickup. Go get him. I mean, he's clearly going to be the RB1 for the Rams, probably for the rest of the year. I mean,
the next 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Kyren Williams comes
He's going to be back.
Yeah, they just put him on IR.
For those next 3 weeks, go get Henderson. He can be a flex option, maybe even an RB2 option. And if Williams tweaks that injury a little bit more and you can get a couple more weeks out of Henderson, might as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, given the history of like Shanahan tree coaches and Shanahan-esque coaches just not giving full information on injuries, we actually have no idea whether Kyren Williams will be back.
Nope.
Because none of those coaches give information on injuries regularly. Like, y'all remember last year when Matt Stafford needed Tommy John, and we didn't know about it till week 17. But my waiver wire pickup, I got a couple this week, and I think they're must-adds, to be honest. Kareem Hunt is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome Ford is not only injured, but Kareem Hunt is starting to outwork him. Kareem Hunt, he got a touchdown on Sunday against the Colts in that incredible game that the Browns ended up losing somehow. Or the Browns ended up winning it, didn't they? Kareem Hunt got the last touchdown. But, yeah, so Jerome Ford now going to miss 1 to 2 weeks. Kareem Hunt is a must-add in all leagues, and you should hold him for the rest of the season because even when Ford was playing, Kareem Hunt was still playing. So definitely worth adding him. The next one is Rashee Rice in Kansas City. He is officially the wide receiver one in that offense. Why I say wide receiver specifically because Travis Kelce is obviously the number one target. But Rice got a touchdown on Sunday, his first of the season, I believe, first of his career. And he's been by far the best receiver in Kansas City. So go get him. He'll be a flex play rest of the season. And the last one is Dalton Kincaid, the rookie tight end out of Utah. For the Bills, Dawson Knox is now expected to miss the rest of the season.
Wow.
So Dalton Kincaid, or that not officially, but the timeline, he just got surgery today, and Sean McDermott said there's no timeline for his return. So yeah. Dalton Kincaid, first-round pick, caught all 8 of his targets on Sunday, scored 15 fantasy points. I would expect him to be a tight end one, like a top 8 tight end the rest of the season.
I'm going
to
go pick him up right now.
Because even if he's not like the starter, even if Knox comes back, I would expect that if he continues to perform like this, Knox won't be the starter when he comes back. So definitely go get Dalton Kincaid. It's hard to find a tight end of that caliber in this day and age.
All right, moving on to my waiver wire pickups. I'm going to start off with Cordero Patterson. This one is kind of wishy-washy. It really depends on Bijan Robinson's status going into the next week. He, like we talked about earlier, he did not really play. He had one carry for 3 yards. Bijan Robinson, because of an illness, and Cordero Patterson ended up with 10 carries and 56 yards, only 5.6 points. However, it is nice to see 10 carries from Patterson, who had 0 yards going into the game. It is confusing not seeing him get targets because that's kind of what he was known for, being a dual threat running back, but I do expect that to go up as the season progresses. So definitely go and get Cordero Patterson. If Bijan Robinson is going into next week out, Patterson could be a good option. Or Tyler Algier, if he's somehow on waivers, he's going to be the next best guy up as well. And then I also want to shout out Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has returned to practice for the Cardinals. Jonathan Gannon, Cardinals head coach, has said there is no real timetable for Kyler Murray to return. He said that they're really keeping that under wraps. However, if Murray gets the chance to play, he's going to put up points. He's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in the NFL. He can run the ball. He can pass the ball. He does it all. And so he's going to be a great option if he does return, because I think Kyler's their franchise guy. I don't think it's going to be Josh Dobbs. So if Kyler Murray comes back, he's a great option. Go ahead and stash him now, because he could be very valuable later on. And that is all we have for the waiver wire pickups. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Week 7 must starts. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our must starts for Week 8 of the NFL season. Let's start with Jake. Let's go.
My first must start, I know you might give me a lot of hate for it because he's been pretty mid all year, but it's Alexander Mattison.
Mid. Sorry.
I'm not lying.
I started him in like 3 leagues.
He's had a decent start to tonight's game against the Niners. But next week against the Packers, I think he's going to run all over that defense. The Broncos' run game looked really good against the Packers this week. Javonte Williams was just, I don't know. He just dominated the trenches.
He had his first big play of the season.
Yeah, and I think Madison's going to do the same thing. I think the Vikings, without Jefferson, I really think the Vikings need to consider just pounding the rock more. Get back to what they did with Dalvin Cook. Use the play action. That's when Kirk Cousins is at his best. He's an extremely good quarterback when they get their run game going, and he doesn't have to just sit back and pick apart defenses all the time. So I got Madison as a must start next week.
I actually, now that I think about it, do like that, because the Packers defense did suffer 3 more injuries on Sunday against Denver.
Definitely.
Including Darnell Savage, who will not be playing next
week. That's bad.
one of their best secondary tacklers. But my must start this week, let's go back to Gus Bus Edwards. He plays Arizona next week, who, while they fought in most of the games they've played, still aren't a good team. They just lack the talent to compete. And Gus Edwards got it done this week against a tougher run defense than the Cardinals have, that's for sure. And I would expect the Ravens to be up big in this game relatively quickly, and that means more carries for Gus Edwards. So I think he definitely gets into the end zone against Arizona, but now that I said that, he's probably not getting a touchdown. So just hope he gets a lot of yards. But yeah, Gus Bus, put him in your lineup next week.
I like it. My must start for this week has been absolutely dominant all year, and that's DJ Moore going up against the Chargers. DJ Moore has been the model of consistency all year, even with some questionable quarterback play. DJ Moore has found his way to get his points. He had more than 20 points this week with, what's his name, Tyson Bagnant?
I'm a big fan of that guy.
Yeah. Tyson Bagnant, dude, he's Bagnant. A dog.
He is
he's
a dog.
Yeah, he balled.
You can't not love that guy.
D2, they asked undrafted.
Him, they were like,
zero-star recruit.
The press conference after the game, they were like, so did you have any backup plans if the NFL didn't work? And he was like, get really ripped and be a teacher at my local high school. And
yep,
I was like,
that's hard.
I want that guy as my QB1.
Yeah, but he balled out with DJ Moore. So DJ Moore going up against the number 32 defense in the NFL against the wide receivers.
Oh,
I'm loving this matchup. So everybody, if you've got the man DJ Moore, I would start him. I benched him when he had that 50-point game, and I really regret it. So if you got Moore, put him in your starting lineup. You will not regret it. Let's move on to our – are we doing another must start or are we going to go
yes,
to our must sits? All right, let's go to our second must start then.
My second must start is a wide receiver over in Jacksonville, and it is not Calvin Ridley.
I'm about to start him.
And it is Christian Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lawrence seems to love Christian Kirk as his wide receiver one. Calvin Ridley is just, I don't really have any answers.
Nope.
For you,
invisible.
To be honest. I mean, Lawrence also hasn't been looking great this year, but it's clear that he loves Christian Kirk. And they're going up against that Steelers secondary, which Puka Nacua just shredded, and even though they lost over 120 yards this week. So I think Christian Kirk is due for another big game.
I do agree with Jake, but I am not going to. I'm going to pivot to my other guy, and it's another wide receiver in the NFC South, not the AFC South. It's Drake London. In Atlanta, he plays Tennessee next week. He's
well,
finally.
Is he alive after that fall?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But
Scorpion.
I haven't seen an injury report yet. So
he's cool.
But Tennessee's secondary now without Kevin Byard is going to be very, very bad.
Lots of holes in that secondary.
So it's. I mean, he's getting at least 7 targets a game for the last 4 games. 7, 9, 12, and 7. Gets an obviously weak Tennessee secondary in week 8 in what is a must-win game for the Falcons if they want to keep pace in that division after getting a big division win over Tampa Bay this weekend. And I would put Drake London in your lineup if you have him. He shouldn't give you anything less than 10 points, and there's a chance that he gives you over 20. So if you need a consistent option, Drake London at this point, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but a Falcons pass catcher is a true consistent option with a safe floor in fantasy football.
Even Kyle Pitts has been doing well. He had a decent week
last
week.
He hasn't been
able
to say that since
ever.
Jones.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to my second must start. I'm going to go with C.J. Stroud versus the Carolina Panthers.
I like it.
It's a duel between the top 2 quarterbacks taken in this NFL draft. C.J. Stroud.
3 picks are playing in this game.
Yeah, Will Anderson, too. Will Anderson going against his college teammate, Bryce Young. That's going to be fun to watch. But I think C.J. Stroud's going to be the big benefit here. He's going against a Panthers defense that's been pretty depleted. They are without their 2 starting cornerbacks in J.C. Horn. And what's the other one? Dante Jackson, I'm sorry. So I really like this matchup for C.J. Stroud. He's going to ball out. He's been one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Coming off of a bye week, everybody's going to be healthy. And so the Texans are going to feast on a not-so-great Panthers defense. So I'm really loving it this week. Let's move on to our must-sits. What
All
do we
right.
got?
I'm gonna do 2 of them together. My first must-sit is T. Higgins.
Of course. He's been terrible.
For those Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, obviously I don't like the Bengals, but
is he even going to play?
If he does play, that's exactly what I'm saying. Don't start him because if he does play, he's going to be on a snap count. And secondly, he's playing against that Niners defense who is already picked off Kirk Cousins this week. I mean, the Niners defense is really good. There's no more to it. And if the Bengals want to keep up with the Niners in the game, Burrow's going to have to feed Jamar Chase, not T. Higgins. And then my second must-sit, I'm sorry, Lincoln, is Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, for sure.
He just really – I know it might be more of an obvious one, but he had a pretty decent week last week.
10 points.
But he – I don't see him doing much this week, so have him on your bench.
Especially against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
My first must-sit of the week, though, is going to be Brian Robinson Jr. in Washington. I mean, obviously, if you don't have better running back options, you probably have no choice. But he got a little bit, and I don't love saying this because I love him because he's a Bama guy and he plays for my hometown team, but he just hasn't been much since that 28.9 point game against my Broncos in week two. Last week against the Giants, he had just 8 carries for 23 yards, and he did get into the end zone. But he gets a stout Philadelphia front seven this week who shut down Raheem Mostert last week, who hadn't scored under 10 fantasy points yet this season. He did it once, but he'd only scored under 10 fantasy points once before this season, and he got bottled up and just stuffed all game against Philadelphia. And I don't expect Brian Robinson to get a much better result considering the state of the Washington O-line and the fact that Washington will probably be losing this game by a lot of points for most of it. So if you have Brian Robinson, I would avoid him at all costs this week against mm-hmm. Philadelphia. You are not getting more than 10 fantasy points out of him. I can almost guarantee it.
All right, moving on to my must-sits. I'm going to start off with a group of people here. I'm going to go with the Falcons running backs against the Tennessee Titans. It's a group. I know I just told y'all to pick up Cordarrelle Patterson, but he could be a nice little stash. The Falcons are going against one of the top rushing defenses in the Tennessee Titans. They have been shutting people down on the ground, thanks in part to star defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons. He's been a monster. I know they just traded away Kevin Byard, their all-pro safety, but he's a ball hawk. He's not a tackler. That's not going to affect the run game all too much. So Bijan Robinson down with an illness. Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson is what they are left with. I don't really like that against the Titans, who have been shutting down every running back that they've played against this year. So I'm going to be sitting that entire group. And then I also want to shout out Michael Pittman versus the Saints. I don't really like that matchup either. Pittman was my must-sit last week, and he had himself an 80-yard touchdown, but he also only had 4 targets on the game. So without that touchdown, he does not really do anything in that game. So I'm going to have him again this week against the Saints, who have been phenomenal. They have one of the top defenses and secondaries in the league. Marshawn Lattimore has looked fantastic against wide receiver ones, and I don't think Michael Pittman's going to have a great game because Josh Downs really benefited on Michael Pittman's downfall, and I think that's going to happen again this week. So that's it for our must-sits.
Unless we want to do one more.
Let's jump into the panic or pause.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do our panic or pause. We had it cut off last week. We're not going to have that happen again. So panic or pause, Jake, who do you got?
First guy that I got, I want to see your input on it. I know I've been praising him for the last couple of weeks, but he continues to disappoint every once in a while. It's Josh Jacobs. What do you guys think? I mean, he looked like a true and elite running back for two weeks ago and 3 weeks ago with, like, 27 points, 20 points, and then he just jumps out with another 5-point week this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him on my list because I agree that I'm a little bit worried, but I am going to pause on him mainly and looking at the fantasy ESPN sheet. Cockroft does not agree because he's got a video about it's time to sound the alarm for Josh Jacobs. But the workload is still there outside of last week. But, I mean, they were losing that entire game.
Yep.
And Aiden McConnell was under center for the second half. Brian Hoyer was awful.
Terrible.
The time that he played. He only got 11 carries, but he took them, 35 yards. Not great average, but the receiving work has been good this year. If Jimmy G can get back on the field, you're definitely looking at a solid RB1-2 option. Although I will say here, this will be my take. For as long as Jimmy G's out, it's full panic mode with Josh Jacobs because that offense is awful without Jimmy
G. Sure.
And I don't want to give all the praise in the world to Jimmy G because he's not amazing, but he's a substantially better quarterback than Brian Hoyer and Aiden McConnell. But it's a dumpster fire in Las Vegas right now, and Josh Jacobs is a victim. So I'd be worried until Jimmy G comes back, and I don't know when that's going to be. So it's a half panic, half pause for me.
I think I'm gonna pause. I think Josh Jacobs has been fine. He had a red zone target last week that resulted in him catching a pass in the end zone, but his left foot was out of bounds. So he would have had a touchdown had he gotten that foot in bounds, but he didn't. So he's getting the looks, and he was the RB won last year for a reason. I think he's going to be just fine. But I do agree with what Lincoln has to say. As long as Jimmy Garoppolo's out, they're going to be playing from behind a lot, and that means less carries for Josh Jacobs. So once Jimmy G's back, I think it's a great stream for Josh Jacobs. I think he'll be just fine. But they're going to need the Prince of Handsome back very quick out in Oakland, or else Jacobs is going to suffer. So.
Vegas.
Did I say Oakland?
You said Oakland.
Oh man, I still got my ties out there. So
I say we take the Raiders back to Oakland.
I think
Josh
we should.
Jacobs would be the best running back in the league.
We really
probably.
Should.
So I'm gonna pause on Josh Jacobs. I think he'll be all right.
All right, Jake. What are your thoughts on the guy that you asked for?
Oh,
give us your take.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go with pause too. I'm just really nervous. I mean, I still won in the league that I have him in because I had Lamar and Tyreek Hill and Andrews, so I'm chilling. But, I mean, I think it's just because I have so much love and attachment to Josh Jacobs that I don't want to – that it makes me mad when I see him put up 5 points a week. But I think you're completely right. I think Jimmy G needs to be back for Jacobs to succeed. And if they're going to mess around and have the second and third string quarterbacks in for the Raiders, they're going to be down a lot. They're going to be down often. And Jacobs is not going to get the carries that he needs to get.
Mm-hmm.
My guy this week, we're sticking in Vegas. It's Davante Adams.
Yeah.
He has scored under 15 fantasy points each of the last 3 weeks. He had four and five targets in weeks 5 and 6. He got back up to 12 this week, but he just didn't get it done with him. He had 12.7 fantasy points. He had 15.5 4 weeks ago. So this has been a four-week streak of Davante Adams not doing Davante Adams things. And so what do you guys think on Davante Adams? I mean, it's weird. It is, like, really weird for me to list Davante Adams in a panic or pause segment.
Definitely.
But we're at that stage in Las Vegas.
I think I'm panicking on Davante Adams. He was a first-round wide receiver in basically every draft, and now we're freaking out about him because Jimmy G's not playing, and even when Jimmy G does play, he's looking at Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers has been incredible this year. He's been extremely consistent, scoring 15-plus points a game every week, and that has not been the same for Davante Adams. He's not getting the looks. He just complained about not getting the looks, and even this week he wasn't getting them. So I'm kind of freaking out on the Fresno State wide receiver. You know, I gotta shout my boys out. Las Vegas though, they're in some trouble, and I know Adams, they already said they're not going to grant his trade request, which does suck, because I think he would benefit from going to another team, getting into a different environment, because this Vegas team is not for him without Derek Carr. That's the only reason he went there last year.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. And so I'm freaking out on Davante Adams right now. I'm not loving it.
I'm going to go opposite of Jamie. I'm going to go with pause. I think when it comes down to it, Davante Adams is still one of the top receivers in the league for a reason. I think he's one of those guys where he can get it done no matter who the quarterback is. And I know you might think, well, Jake, what's happened the last 3 weeks? He hasn't been able to get it done. That I don't blame that on Adams or the quarterback. I really think there's just frustration within the system, and that tears down players very quick when there's frustration in the system. But another thing that I also know is when your best players complain about not getting the ball, you're going to give them the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going to draw up plays. They're going to draw up a package to just feed to Davante Adams, because if the Raiders want to win, if they want a chance at winning, they have to give it to Davante Adams. So I'm going to say pause. He has a relatively easy schedule coming up as well. I know he's got the Giants in there. He's got the Dolphins defense in there, who I know there's a lot of hype around the Dolphins, but the receivers have been eating them up the last couple of weeks.
They're waiting on Jalen Ramsey to come back.
Yeah,
so.
Which he actually might be back for.
Mm-hmm. But we all know Davante Adams owns Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah,
so,
he does.
So I'm going to go with pause on Davante Adams. I think we're going to see that wide receiver one, that round one draft pick, come alive the next couple of weeks.
I'm going to join Jamie. I'm in full panic mode.
Wow.
If Davante Adams is my wide receiver one. And I was originally thinking I'd go another like half panic, half pause. But with Davante Adams, I mean, you picked him top 10. Like, you picked him at least top 12, and he's just not doing that right now. And it's not even a quarterback problem as much. Obviously, without Jimmy G, it's going to be rough for him. But once he comes back, like, he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to play for the Raiders. He's not having fun playing for the Raiders. He's not agreeing with the coaches. He's not agreeing with the front office. And, I mean, I don't blame him, because the Raiders have been a disaster for the better half of an entire
decade. I don't
blame him
either. I mean, I saw something on, it might have been Twitter again. I've been mentioning Twitter a lot today, but someone said that like the Raiders are ruining Davante Adams' Hall of Fame career, and
they
I completely agree.
Like he and. But that's the bigger part. It's like if you don't want to be there, he's not going to like go out there and give 100% every game because he doesn't want it. He doesn't think that the Raiders deserve 100% out of him, and they don't.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do it either.
I really wouldn't be shocked if at some point, if the Raiders can't figure this out and he doesn't get the ball or they don't start getting him the ball, start playing better, like it really wouldn't surprise me if he was just like, hey, I'm not going to play anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's
he
great.
Almost did.
A mid-season holdout would be wild.
That would be awesome.
And like honestly, it would be like a slap in the face to the Raiders. But at this point, that might be what they need to get going. For so real. I'm in like sound the alarm. I'm terrified if I don't.
Yeah. So my panic or pause for this week is Austin Eckler, who has had two terrible back-to-back weeks against the Cowboys and the Chiefs. He had 5.8 this week against the Chiefs and 10 versus Dallas. So what are we thinking on Austin Eckler? Top three pick in the draft has not been performing so far.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Panic, because Austin, it's simple. When Austin Eckler plays, they use Josh Kelly a lot.
Yeah.
When he doesn't play, they don't use Josh Kelly, which is really weird, which leads into a coaching problem. The Chargers front office and their coaching, their Staley is not good. Their OC is struggling. Like they have a top running back in the league when he's healthy, and that's another problem. He can't stay healthy, and they don't use him. And they can't run the ball. Like there's just so many problems with that Chargers team, especially their offense around Eckler, that I would panic on Eckler. If you can trade him away for some decent value, I'd do it. I'd completely do it.
I'm going to pause, and that's just because the work is still there. He had 14 carries the last 2 weeks, and Dallas and Kansas City's defenses are no joke. They're two of the best in the league. The receiving work, especially if you're in a PPR league, I would definitely pause because the receiving work, he had 4 catches 2 weeks ago against Dallas. He only had 1 catch this week. A little bit scary there, but it is Austin Eckler at the end of the day, and they will use him. The matchups coming up are really good. He's got Chicago. The Jets isn't a good matchup, but Detroit, Green Bay, like he gets Denver again at some point. He gets Vegas again at some point. Like he gets Denver twice in the rest of the season, so I would definitely pause on Austin Eckler. It's not what you're expecting right now, but I'd at least give it 2 more weeks.
Yeah, I think on Austin Eckler, I'm going to pause. He has been terrible these last 2 weeks, but week one against Miami, he did have 26.4 points on 16 attempts. So I just think we're waiting on the yards. And like Lincoln, I was going to bring up the schedule. He gets Chicago, and the Jets are actually ranked number 25 against the running backs. Oh, they are not very good against the running backs. They shut down quarterbacks well, but not running backs. He gets Detroit, who is ranked number 4 against running backs, but did not play well against Baltimore. And then Green Bay, who's not good. Denver twice. Vegas. I really like his playoff schedule. He gets Buffalo, Denver, and Kansas City. So I think Austin Eckler is going to be a decent play for the rest of the year. He'll get back on track. He is coming off of an injury. So I think it's safe to say we can wait on Austin Eckler. And that is all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa and the Student Section Fantasy Sports Show. We'll see you all next Monday night. Peace.